WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there's no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 19th of October, 2022. There's a little bit of frost outside. I'm having a little bit difficulties here with what I'm about to play. First of all, sorry. Thank you to the executive board for the renewing the grand hour here at 5 a.m. on Wednesdays. I'm going to have a show after me, which hasn't been the case for almost a year. So, again, thank you. The first drum I'm going to play this morning is a Lights Out. It's called The Author and the Thing. This had an original air date of the 28th of September, 1943.
Lights out, everybody. It is later than you think.
This is Arch Obler bringing you another in our series of stories of the unusual. And once again, we caution you, these lights out stories are definitely not for the timid soul. So we tell you calmly and very sincerely, if you frighten easily, turn off your radio now.
Miss Goddard, answer the phone, please.
Yes, Mr. Obler. Yes? Oh, yes, Miss Harrison. Here he is. Mr. Obler?
Yes?
Miss Harrison.
Oh, thank you. Hello, Joan. How's the Phantom Lady? Yeah, am I in trouble? Well, the last light's out. I just don't know what to write about. Oh, no, I got plenty of ideas, but... Well, men dying in foxholes, and what am I doing? Thinking of fantastic... Well, thanks very much, but I still insist that I ought to be... Yeah, okay. Sure, I'll make this last one a good one, and then that'll be that. If I live through it. Huh? No, I was just talking to myself. I've been doing that rather consistently these last few days. Yes, I guess all those zombies and ghouls and loop gurus have finally caught up with me. Yeah, I know. Two aspirins and a glass of water every half hour. Now, look here, Miss Harrison, don't worry about me. I'll get the story written tonight if I have to talk to the devil himself to do it. All right, John. All right. Yeah, sure. Oh, fine. Call me back in an hour, and I'll have some kind of a plot figured out. I hope. Give my regards to Norman. Talk to you later. Well, Miss Goddard, let's get to work.
Yes, sir.
What time is it, anyway?
11:32.
Sorry I have to keep you working so late.
That's perfectly all right. I know you have to have that play done by tomorrow morning. I'm glad to help.
You're an angel. Angel. That's a strange word to use here in this room where I've thought up so many demons and monsters. Tell me, or maybe you won't want to tell me.
What, Mr. Obler?
Working with me on these lights-out plays, do you ever get frightened?
Well...
You do, don't you?
Yes, I do get frightened many times.
There was a time I'd have found that very amusing, but not tonight.
Is there something wrong, Mr. Obler?
I don't know. Tell me... Did you ever sit alone in a room at night and have a premonition? I mean, suddenly get the feeling that somewhere in the house, perhaps in the darkness in the next room, something was waiting, something of malignancy and evil? Ugh, what's the matter with me? If I keep on talking like this, they'll be using me as Exhibit X in the psychopathic ward. Come on, let's get to work.
Yes, sir.
Let me see. We'll start out next week's play with the regular lights out opening. Lights out, everybody. Chimes later than you think. Gong. First character is named Hellman. Call him Hellman. Jack Hellman, H-E-L-M-A-N. Two L's. Got that?
Mm-hmm.
He commits a murder and he, Oh, what's the use? I can't write another one of these things. Ghosts and groans and blood. I tell you, I can't do it.
Mr. Obler.
I'm sorry. Look here, Miss Goddard, you better run along.
But aren't we going
I just can't write anymore tonight.
But the cast, they'll be standing by. The rehearsal.
Devil with the rehearsal. I'm not going to go insane writing these things for anybody. Now run along, please. Try to get some rest, and if you come back early in the morning, we'll see what we can do.
Just as you say. Are you sure you're all right?
Please go.
All right. Good night.
Good night. What's come over me anyway? Why did I tell her to go? I got to write this play. Premonition. She must have thought I was getting soft. Who's there? Oh. Well, I am in bad shape. The wind rattles the window and I... Lights out, author goes nuts. There's a headline for Variety. I gotta get down to earth. 11:45. Joan said she'd call back in an hour. I've got to have some kind of a plot by then. Let me see. How about a press agent named Black killing a man named White and Black and White murder? Ooh, that corny. Maybe I could use a story about a Hollywood producer. Let's see, Johnny Auer. He meets a girl and then's afraid because the girl's husband... Oh, is that out of character? How about Nero chopping off heads in the Roman circus and... Certainly it's quiet in here. Yell all day for quiet. Now that I've got it, I have got the jitters. What the devil have I got to be jittery about? Things are what they are, if anybody knows that I do. 2 and 10 makes 4, unless you're talking about curved space, and them that has hold on to what they've got, and anybody who's in this war for profit ought to have his bones broken off, and... What the devil am I talking about? Okay. I'd better stop kidding myself. I know what's wrong. I want to write it, and yet I don't. What's the matter with me? Afraid to put it down on paper? What have I got to be afraid of? Here goes. Get it over with, and outline of... Title undecided. Get out of my system. Play opens in the cell of a monastery in the Middle Ages. The mystic is cowered in the corner of his room. Outside, a mob is clamoring for his life. It appears that a horrible crime has been committed in the village below. A horrible monster had torn a woman. It appears that this creature, brought into being through the incantations of the sorcerer, was the concentration of all the evil in men's hearts and minds. A tremendous force of fiendishness and inhumanity put into living flesh to roam the world and commit unspeakable... Of all the drivel. A tremendous force of fiendishness and inhumanity put into living flesh to roam the world and commit unspeakable... Well, drivel or not, there it is on paper. Me own monster conceived in me own mind. Congratulations, Papa. Have a cigar. Conceived in my own mind. That's what that crazy monk said in that book Nat Wolf gave me. I wonder who gave Nat that book. Conceived in... Where's that book anyway? It ought to be... I even marked a page. And I say unto thee that if thou shalt be evil and do evil and think evil, and let thy mind rest upon this evilness in the light of day and in the darkness of night for 7 days and 7 nights, there may come into being a thing of evil, and it shall take the form of the evilness of thy thought. Written by a half-starved mystic more than 10 centuries ago, and I... Funny I should have thought of those words tonight. I've been thinking about them for a week. Shall take the evil... The form of the evilness of thy thought... 7 days and 7... Who? Who's there?
No! What the... You in my mind. You're just in my mind. No. You evil. You don't exist, I tell you. I thought you up. You're a dream. I said a dream. When I wake up... The door. It is a dream. It's got to be a dream. Come in. Get me out of this dream.
Hi, Art. Well, don't you ever open doors anymore? Now, what's the big idea sitting in here all
night? It's not a dream. It's still...
Hey, Art, what's cooking?
Eli, get out.
Oh, now, Arch,
don't stand there looking at me. Get out. Can't you see it? Can't you see it? Get out. Get out of here.
What's the gag? See in here what?
Behind you. Look behind you.
Well, there's nothing behind me but the wall.
Eli?
Say, what is this, anyway? A preview of...
Eli, get out of here.
All right, all right. Now, let's have it. What is this, a preview of a new play? Boy, am I glad you're quitting Lights Out after all.
Can't you hear him?
Oh, hear who?
Eli, behind you.
Behind me what? What's the matter with you anyway, Arch? Don't you feel well? You keep staring back at me.
It must be a dream. It must be a dream.
What's a dream?
It must be a dream.
Are you
tight?
What's the matter? The pink elephant's beginning to get... No, no, no!
My brother! No, my brother, let go of me! You think to my brother! No, no, no!
Eli. Eli?
Oh, no. Eli. Operator. Operator, please. Send police right away, my brother. Please, send police, send police. My brother, my brother, my brother.
Yeah. How much time we got to go on this ship yet, you? Oh, hold it. Here comes Frank Sinatra again.
Squad 39 and 48. Going to Ventura and Radwood. Drunk, making a disturbance. Claims his brother, ate by a monster. Squad 39
well,
and 48. Going to Ventura and Redwood. Drunk, claims brother, ate by a snake. KLPD, signing off.
But I tell you, it's true, officer, it's true. My brother, my own brother, I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes.
All right. So you saw it. Now, take it easy, young fellow. You're in bad shape.
I tell you, I'm not drunk. I'm as sober as you are.
Now, don't get funny.
You thick-headed fool. Look, it's there behind you.
What?
The thing, the monster. Look at it. Believe my brother.
I've heard of him seeing snakes and pink elephants, but this is the first one I've seen this bad off, eh, Joe?
But he don't look tight.
Oh, you never can tell in the valley.
There, the two of you. Can't you see him? Can't you see him? Lovin' there in that corner.
Hey, maybe we better take him down to the station, let him cool off in the can for a while, eh?
Yeah.
Stop staring at me, the two of you. Why won't you believe me? Why won't you believe me?
Clarence, maybe this guy's on the level.
Oh, are you nuts, too? If something happened to his brother, there'd be someone around, wouldn't there? And there ain't nothing in this room.
What have I done? What have I done?
You've done? What do you mean?
I thought of the monster. 7 days and 7 nights.
I see, what? Joe, the guy's nuts.
Let's find out who he is. What's your name, young fella?
What's your name? Quiet down now. What's your name?
Oh, what difference does that make? The thing that sits there and grins at me. Why don't you see it and help me?
Oh, come on. Come on now. What's your name? Let's have it.
Opaler. Oh, Eli.
What's your business? What do you do for a living?
Eli.
Well?
Radio. I write radio. What's the difference?
Radio? Opaler. Say... Ain't you the guy that writes them screwy Lights Out things Tuesday night?
Yes, help me. Please help
that
me.
Joe. What?
Well, this is the guy that writes them ghost things I was telling you about, you know, over the radio. Obler. The guy who always makes his cops Irish. You get it? It's one of them gags, one of them publicity gags.
Gags? Oh, you infernal...
Now, wait a minute, fellow. Watch your tongue.
I tell you, it's not a gag. It's here in the room, and it took my brother and... There. Can't you hear it? Can't you hear it?
Huh?
It's laughing. An infernal laughing. Listen to it. Listen to it.
It is later than you Okay, young fella. If it ain't a gag, you better take a bromo and go back to bed. Now, listen, you. We're going to hang around for a while, so take it easy. Come on, Joe. Let's get out of here. This
no, no, wait. Who is this? Wait. Don't leave me down. It's here, I tell you. It's here. Don't leave me. Oh. What'll I do? What'll I do? I got to get out of here. I've got to get out here and find someone who'll believe. What? Oh, it won't let me out? No, no. Don't come near me. Don't come. The police. They come back. Come in.
Hi, Arch. I was just driving by and I thought...
No, Mercedes. Get out of here. Get out.
What?
No.
Arch, what's the matter? What are you staring at?
Mercedes, believe me. You got to get out.
No.
Where is
no.
it?
No.
Help.
No.
Help.
Oh, no.
Help.
No. No.
Help.
No. Help. No.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
What's going on here? Didn't we tell you to go to bed? Is that the way to act? We heard you screaming all the way down in the... Oh, no.
Where did she come from?
She hurt corn.
Give me a gun.
Huh?
That thing in the corner there, won't you look at it? Won't you believe me? Give me that gun.
Get away from me.
The gun, I'll shoot it. I'll shoot that.
No, no, stand where you are. Stand where you are. Let you have a slug.
Huh?
You got it coming to you, that girl. They'll burn you for it as sure as my name's Clarence McMenzer. And I'd like to be the guy that pulls the switch.
Right in here, sir. You got 5 minutes.
Yes, I know, I know.
Oh, Mr. Gaines, I've been waiting for you.
I got here as soon as I could. Looks bad, Obler. Very bad.
What do you mean? I didn't do anything. I tell you, I didn't.
Oh, yes, yes. I know, I know. But, Obler, you can't do a thing like that and just walk away from it.
Well, I've explained it to you. I've explained it to everyone 100 times, 1,000 times. Won't anyone believe me?
Now, look here, Arch. I'm your attorney. I want to help you. A great number of people want to help you, and we certainly can't do a thing unless you cooperate. Yes, that's what I said. Cooperate.
What do you want me to do?
Tell the truth. The whole truth.
Well, I've told you. I've told you.
Yes, yes, I know what you've told me. A horrible thing that you conceived in your mind came to life and did a number of peculiar things. But, oh, see here, surely you don't think that even the most stupid jury on earth is going to believe that nonsense?
You don't believe me.
Well, I've heard many peculiar alibis from my radio clients in time, but... Well, listen, if you want to plead temporary...
But I'm not insane. I'm not insane. I'm not
then
insane.
Then let's hear a sane explanation of what happened that night.
I told you. I told you everything just the way it happened. My brother came home and...
Yes, 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 I know.
Well?
Your brother came into the room and was eaten up by this monster and then that girl. Oh, what's the use? Apparently you want to die.
I've tried so hard to make you understand.
And I've tried to make you understand that if you don't stop this infernal nonsense and hurry up and tell me the truth of what really happened... You'll either find yourself taking a one-way walk to the electric chair or wake up in a padded cell in an asylum for the criminally insane.
What?
The fact of the matter is, they've already appointed a lunacy commission to pass on your case.
Lunacy commission?
Oh, see here, Arch.
Wait. No, wait. Let me talk.
Go right ahead. That's what I want you to do.
Maybe I am insane. I don't know. At first, I told myself it was nothing but a nightmare. That I'd wake up and find it had all been nothing but a weird dream that never really happened. But it's not a dream, and no one will believe my story, not even you.
But such an irrational story. How can you expect anyone to believe it? Now, take that part about your brother being devoured alive by this monster.
It happened. It happened just as I said it happened.
It's common knowledge that your brother is pre-induction vacationing up north with your mother.
He came back.
You mean they are coming back. I sent your brother a wire to come back and bring your mother home at once. They ought to be here today.
My brother's dead.
Well, that's your preposterous story. This thing, this monster who's supposed to have committed all these crimes. Where is he? Where did he come from? Where has he gone to?
I don't know.
Did the police see him? No. Did anyone see him? No. Oh, Arch, Arch, if you're going to think up an alibi to save yourself, for heaven's sake, think up a better one than that one.
I'm not trying to think up alibis. I'm just trying to explain what happened to you and maybe to myself. I haven't believed much during my life, except perhaps that somewhere there was a power that went beyond life and death. What happened to me isn't explainable in any terms that you and I... But, Mr. Gang, I tell you, it did happen. I thought of a monster for 7 days and 7 nights in my own mind. And like that prophet of the Middle Ages warned, the evil thing came to life, and yet only I could see it and hear it.
And do you see and hear it now?
No. That's what I can't quite understand. Perhaps the horrible thing only has life when I think about it intensely. That's it. It only has life when my thoughts give it life. Like an idea. Don't you see, Mr. Gang? Like an idea only exists when you think of it. Your thought gives it life. And that's the way it is with that terrible thing. Listen. 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 Do you hear him? There he is in the corner.
What?
I tell you, he's there. Don't you hear it? Blubbering and slobbering. I see it now, I see it. You think? I'm not afraid of you anymore, you hear me? I'm not afraid, I'll kill you, I'll kill you, I'll kill you, I'll kill you, I'll kill you.
Over! Gone! Help! Help! God!
God!
I'll kill you, I'll kill you. He's gone insane! He's gone insane!
I tell you, all radio writers are crazy. I've had dealings with several of them.
Gentlemen, if you please, control yourselves.
Mr. Parity, please. Dr. Schimmick, put down that bottle. Are we a lunacy commission or lunatics? And you too, Mr.
I know how strongly you gentlemen feel about this matter, but after all, we must come to a decision on his mental status. As chairman of this lunacy commission,
I feel that it is incumbent upon me to, shall I say, summarize the facts as they have been placed before us. First, it is an established fact that a murder, and a very horrible murder, has been committed. The police officer has testified very conclusively that Arch Obler was there upon the scene of the crime and that it was absolutely impossible for anyone else to have committed the murder. In other words, the man whose mental status we are to determine is a murderer. Consider further facts. Does he wear conventional shirts?
No.
Another fact. Does he participate in normal activities such as drinking, dancing, fraternal orders, and similar beneficial social activities?
No.
I pile fact upon fact. Have you gentlemen ever listened to his play?
What
are some of the distinctive features of these works? Voices.
Strange voices.
Whispering voices. No, that gentleman always whispering voices. Voices. Gentlemen, I am of the firm opinion that we are dealing with a very definite case of dementia praecox in its paranoidal form.
No, Arch.
A lifetime in an insane asylum. Oh, my. I'm not insane. I tell you, I'm not insane.
No, of course you're not, son. Don't excite yourself anymore. Please. Or don't make me go.
If there was only some way I could make them see the thing as I see it. Mother, you believe what I told you, don't you?
Dear, of course I do. Oh, if Eli would only get back.
Eli? But I told you, Eli would... You're like the others. You don't believe me. Now I know you don't.
Will
believe. I'll make you believe. Bing, wherever you are, listen to me. I think of you. Here, I think of you. I give you life. You hear, Mother? You hear it does exist? It does?
No, don't get so excited.
There, Mother. It's right behind you. Turn, see, believe. You see, Mother. You see it. I'm not insane. I'm not. No. My mother. Bing, my mother. No.
All right. Hello. Oh, yes, John. Midnight already? Yeah, I've been sitting here very comfortably, and I finally thought up the plot line, and believe me, it's quite a brainstorm. I die. Sure, it's my final broadcast, so why not? No, I'm not gagging. Listen to me. You know, it's all about a monster that I conceived in my own itty-bitty mind, and it comes to life. Honestly, I haven't had a Coke in hours. Now, it's going to be one of those, you know, crazy stories inside of a story. Now, listen. The way I've got it figured out is this. Now, I'm supposed to be sitting here thinking of this horrible monster, and suddenly I turn around and there it is, see? And my young brother comes in and this monster eats him up alive, and then Mercy McCambridge comes in and she... Wait a minute, Joan. Hold it for a minute. I think someone came in. I imagine it's Bernie. I'll see who...
No! Joan, listen! That thing, it's true. This time it's really happening.
No!
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair? Or...
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presence, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Thank you, Ad Council. What we heard at the top of the hour was Lights Out, The Author and the Thing, with an original air date of the 28th of September, 1943. Arch Obler is synonymous with Lights Out, but it was actually conceived by a writer-producer named Willis Cooper in 1934. It ran at a 13-year run. My name is Arthur, and this is the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. For the second half of the show, we're going to go to an old show favorite, Bob Bailey, as yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is called the Ghost to Ghost Matter. I'm sticking with that Halloween theme. Seems all month except for the training. This had an original air date of the 18th of May, 1958. Thanks for listening.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Hi, Johnny. This is Art Price, International Press Service.
Oh, holy smoke, Art. What are you doing up at this hour of the morning?
I'm on the night desk, and I'm sorry to have to wake you up.
So am I.
Listen, I just got a call. A real frantic one from a guy who insisted on having your phone number.
Well, did you give it to him?
He said he's an insurance man, that it was about some insurance matter. So, yes, I did.
Well, why'd he call you?
Yeah, that puzzles me, too. But he was so excited, so frantic. Well, he probably called the first person he could think of. And he said it was a big emergency.
Oh? Did he give you any details?
No. And, Johnny, it's aroused my curiosity. Let me know what it's all about, will you?
Yeah, sure.
Promise?
Okay, Art, promise.
Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. The State Unity Life Insurance Company, Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the ghost-to-ghost matter. I'd no sooner rolled over in the hope of getting back to sleep when the phone beside my bed started jangling again. Oh, nuts. Johnny Dollar.
This is Oscar H. Trimley, Mr. Dollar.
Trimley?
I represent State Unity Life here in Lake City, New Jersey.
Oh, look, are you the man who called Art Price over in International Press Service?
Yes, I did get your phone number. I knew he'd have it, you're being such a famous investigator and all that.
Yeah, well, you could also have got it from Universal Adjustment Bureau, your insurance directory, the long-distance operator.
Oh, dear, I guess I've been so upset over this whole thing that it never occurred to me, but... Can you come down here to Lake City, Mr. Dollar, right away?
Well, it depends. What's this all about?
Ian McAndrews.
Who's Ian McAndrews?
Oh, don't you know? He's the man who founded Lake City.
So what's happened to him?
He's dead, Mr. Dollar. Or rather, he isn't.
Huh?
Well, that is to say, he died, Mr. Dollar, about 5 years ago.
And?
Well, in due time, of course, we paid off the claim on his life insurance policy, $55,000. Everything in order and perfectly all right.
Well, then?
But now... Oh, no, Mr. Dollar. You just won't believe it unless you come here and see for yourself.
Oh, won't believe what?
Ian McAndrews has come back.
Huh?
Either he or his ghost has come back here.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
No, it's true. it's absolutely true, sir. Ian McAndrews is haunting Lake City. So please come as quickly as you can.
I'll think about it.
Oh, dear. Is that the best answer you can give me?
Yeah, I'm afraid so, until I see how things line up for me these next couple of days. Goodbye, Mr. Trimley. Think about it. I could hardly wait to grab a train. But I didn't want Oscar Trimley to know that. Because I had a strong suspicion that if you can catch a ghost off guard, you'll be one up on him. Expense account item one, the promised phone call to Art Price in International Press.
Are you kidding, Johnny?
No, I'm deadly serious, Art.
But a ghost in the little New Jersey.
Yeah, yep, I'll keep in touch. Then I remembered Nancy. Nancy Turner, an old flame, or rather a young old flame. She'd said something one time about taking up investigation of the supernatural. So, expense account item two, another dime for another call.
You old rascal, Johnny, you haven't called me in ages.
Well, you know how it is. Look, Nancy, did you ever go ahead with your study of psychic investigation?
Psychic? Oh, no, Johnny. I found I'd have to read a couple of hundred musty old books, so I gave it up.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
Oh, why?
Well, I've got to run over to Jersey to investigate a haunted town.
A haunted town? How thrilling.
Except that such a thing is impossible.
Oh, it is?
Sure. But I'd kind of thought that maybe you were still... Well, I guess we better forget it.
Forget it? Nothing. I'm going with you.
Oh, no, wait.
No excuses. I'll put on my face and another dress and be waiting by the time you can get here.
Yeah, but look, honey, I...
Johnny...
Okay, Nancy, I'll pick you up. Item 3, 1085, taxi and train for two to New York. Item 4, $50, deposit on a rental car when we got into Grand Central Station. We crossed over into Jersey and hit Route 22 for Somerville and points west. And every mile of the way, Nancy chattered away like a magpie. She kept quoting some of the stuff she had read on the subject. A lot of authorities who decided that some of the reports on haunted towns and houses and people, things like that, had decided there was something really supernatural about them. And you know, after a while, I began to wonder. Yep, I began to wonder.
Act two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment. Our flag now numbers 50 stars, and behind each star there stands yet another flag representing one of the 50 states. Kansas state flag is dark blue, and in the center is the state seal, surmounted by a large sunflower, the official state flower. The seal reflects the history of Kansas, the train of ox wagons going west, for most of the great roads passed through Kansas. An Indian is depicted chasing a herd of buffalo, recalling the words of the official state song, "Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam." For this truly was the home of the buffalo and Indian. The east is represented by a rising sun, and the promise of future prosperity is indicated by the steamboat on the river and the farmer plowing the field. Above a mountain range are 34 stars, for Kansas was the 34th state admitted to the Union. Over all is the state motto, Ad Astra Per Aspera, to the stars through difficulties. Kansas state flag, the flag of the 34th state to enter the Union, was adopted on March 23, 1927. And now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Ghost to Ghost Matter.
Lake City, nestled in among the soft, rolling North Jersey hills. But it kind of has been town. I saw the reason for that in the abandoned mill, the old McAndrews cotton mill at one side of the lake. The same old story, I guess. When a town's main industry closes down, it kind of goes to pot. Nonetheless, it was a charming little place. Population? Oh, maybe 400 or 500. When we finally located Oscar Trimley's insurance office, we found a bit of a gathering there.
And Mr. Dollar, that is Miss Turner and Mr. Dollar. This is Charlie Reed.
Hi, Mr. Reed.
Bill Foster and Tony Gray. We're sort of a local businessmen's club, Johnny, you know.
Okay, then let's get to the point.
Sit down.
Thanks. Thank you.
Johnny, I thought over the phone that you were turning us down.
Well, I changed my mind, and when I thought of Nancy and her knowledge of the supernatural...
Good. That's what we need.
Well, yes, you're right.
Well, I am interested in the subject.
We're all a little worried about it.
Tony isn't kidding.
I think we're a pretty level-headed bunch, but, well, this thing has us scared.
That's putting it mildly.
If it really is his ghost that's plaguing us...
Oh, now, you don't seriously believe in ghosts.
I'll tell you this. I never did before, but now, well, wait and you'll see.
Gee, Johnny.
Well, suppose you tell me what's going on.
Well...
No, Johnny. You'll have to see for yourself.
And here.
Yes, Charlie, and here. And that means waiting until midnight.
Midnight?
Sure, Mr. Dollar.
Well, just why, Bill?
You'll see.
Yes, and meantime, you can look around. Say, aren't you quite a fisherman, Johnny?
Oh, I'd rather fish than eat, but now look,
I love to fish, too.
Good, the lake's full of nice bass. Charlie, you can fix him up with a boat, can't you?
You sure can.
Yes, but if I'm going to investigate...
Tony, you arrange for a place for Miss Turner to stay overnight.
Be glad to.
Well, now...
And Johnny, you'll stay at my home, all right?
Fine, but now at least tell me...
No, I want you to see for yourself at midnight. Now, meantime, good fishing.
Right. Now, I've got to get back to the shop before Mrs. Bickley starts screaming about her high five. See you later.
Yeah, and I'll come back to the office and arrange somewhere for Miss Turner to stay. See you later.
See you, Tony. Now, if you folks will come over to the print shop with me, we'll pick up the keys to my boat and some tackle, and you can be on your way.
Look, can't you at least give me some idea?
Nope, not a thing until midnight. Oh, and we'll all have dinner together at the hotel.
Mr. Turnley...
Well, you ready, Mr. Turner? Johnny?
Well, you fellas are the boss, I guess. Fishing, Nancy?
I'd love it.
I'll even give you some of the fast-strike hooks I use.
Okay, then let's go. There was something slightly screwy about the whole thing. And I don't mean just the talk of a ghost. But when I go fishing, and at company expense, well, who's to complain? So Nancy and I spent the rest of the day on the lake. Matter of fact, she caught the big one. By dinner time, we were starved, and the little hotel served us not only excellent cocktails, but a regular banquet complete with champagne.
You enjoying it, Miss Turner?
I love it. Only why don't you call me Nancy?
Sure, why not?
Charlie, I'll tell your wife.
Now, Tony, you stay out of this.
Mr. Trimley, about this ghost
business. This champagne, you know, comes from the old Leland Stanford Vineyard.
Oh, yes, and it's fine.
Finest I know.
But it's time we talk about your ghost.
Say, you land any big ones out on the lake?
Yeah, Bill, Nancy got a 4-pounder. But now listen, will you...
Another thing about this fine California
wine. Didn't I see you navigating the boat, Nancy?
Listen, will you please?
Well, I got one last year, weighed 6.5.
Look, fellas.
You caught it over near the old cottage.
Hey, fellas. Look, please, will you tell me a little bit about... All I want to know is... So, I got nowhere. But then, finally, after a lot more food and wine and chatter, we drove off in Tony's car.
Now, I'm stopping here in the middle of town, Johnny, because it's the best place to be when things start popping.
Like what? Hey, when are you fellas going to stop this runaround and start making sense?
You'll see, you'll see.
I'm all excited.
Look, Johnny.
Yeah, Charlie?
You see the old tower clock? Almost midnight.
So what about it?
Old McAndrews passed away at the stroke of midnight, Johnny. Personally, I think that has something to do with this.
You still haven't told me with what?
Wait. Listen. There goes the tower clock.
Oh, midnight.
Count them, Johnny. That was 4. 5.
And Johnny, see how all the lights are flickering along the streets?
That happens every night?
And no reason for it.
Look. Bats!
Huh?
Millions of bats coming out of that clock tower.
Yeah, I see them. But I don't... What under the sun is that?
That's the ghost, wailing.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
That scream fills the air, comes from everywhere.
It's a horrible sound. Johnny.
Easy, honey.
No, listen, didn't you hear? That clock struck 13.
Yes, Johnny.
Why, yes.
You ask me, the devil's in old McAndrew's ghost. That's why it comes out of his house every night.
Out of his house?
Right, Johnny. And wait till you see what's there.
Right.
Act 3 of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment.
Famous words of wisdom spoken by great men of thought never die, but are carried on through history by the people who feel them and love them. When Benjamin Franklin said, "They that can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety," he was speaking for all men in all countries. In May 1945, when the 1st Marine Division was making an assault on Okinawa, pharmacist's mate William D. Halliburton, Jr., serving with a Marine Rifle Company, left his place of safety during a terrific counterattack by the enemy. In spite of the deadly accuracy of the concentrated fire around him, Halliburton unhesitatingly dashed across a draw and up a hill into an open, bombarded field to render first aid to a fallen Marine. When his patient was struck a second time, Halliburton placed himself in the direct line of fire in order that he might shield his patient and continue to treat him. Though he could have sought safety until his company advanced and covered him, his first thought was for the wounded man. It was only when the slashing fury of the shrapnel and bullets mortally wounded him that Halliburton was unable to continue his duty. His unwavering code of conduct in the fight for liberty earned him his grateful country's highest award, the Medal of Honor.
And now, Act Three of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Ghost to Ghost Matter.
Is the front door of this old house always left wide open?
Yeah, Johnny. Sure you want to go in?
Sure. Come along, Nancy.
I'm coming. Oh, there was more light around. Oh!
Well, that's nice. Slam right in our faces.
I knew it.
Unlocked, though. Let me have that flashlight, Tony.
Here.
No sign of wires or strings on it. Come on.
Okay. Come on, fellas.
Now, Johnny.
Yeah, Bill?
As you can see, there's just one big room downstairs here.
Johnny.
Easy, Nancy, easy.
Don't you see
Look,
that?
I admit this is all pretty strange, but a ghost.
Well, what else? We've been over this house with a fine-tooth comb.
Hey, listen. You hear that?
Somebody's walking on the ceiling. Listen. Oh,
yeah,
that's the kind of stuff you hear.
Poltergeist. Noisy spirits. You can hear them, but you can't see them.
Don't you see, Johnny? It can't be anything normal or natural.
Is that the end?
No, sir. The old ghost has a regular...
See? Hear those shutters banging?
There's no wind out there.
Why didn't you tell me it'd be like this, Johnny? Let's...
Look.
Yeah. Light's moving around somewhere outside.
You can see the reflection in the trees.
But they're green. Ghost lights. Oh! Johnny, look! That was a rocking chair. It's rocking.
In front of the window, where old McAndrews used to sit and look out on the town before he died.
Give me the flashlight.
Here.
No strings or wires on this either.
Well,
that's the end of it. The same crazy routine every night.
It's the ghost of Ian McAndrews. That's all there is to it.
Well, from what you fellas are showing me tonight, it kind of looks that way.
It is, Johnny.
But tomorrow I want to investigate these things in broad daylight. I investigated, all right, the old house, the clock tower, everything I could find. And thanks to the help of the boys, we covered a lot of ground. Result? Nothing. Meantime, I noticed that the town, the sleepy little town of Lake City, was being mobbed. People from all over, streets jammed with cars. And as we sat down at lunch in the hotel...
Miss, waitress, will you please bring me another cup of... Oh, dear, she didn't hear me.
Where'd they all come from?
Yeah. Business has certainly picked up around here.
Why, yes, I'd noticed that.
Any idea why, Bill?
Not the least. No wonder Tony couldn't be with us for lunch. And Charlie's at his print shop getting out an extra.
Hey, excuse me. Aren't you Johnny Dollar, the investigator?
Yeah, that's right.
Man, can I use you. Now, just let me get a picture.
Well, now, wait.
Hold it. Okay, Johnny. Thanks a lot.
Hey, that photographer's from one of the New York papers.
No kidding.
Oh, really?
Listen, if Art Price at International Press gave out the word about this ghost story...
Oh, now, Johnny...
Okay, Nancy, you all finished?
Uh-huh.
Then, Oscar, Bill, we're going to leave the check with you and pull out.
You mean leave town?
Yep, going back to Hartford.
But, Johnny...
I've investigated, I've come up with nothing. So there's no point in staying around any longer.
Oh, oh
no,
Johnny.
Thanks a lot, fellas. And Oscar, I'll send you my expense account. Come on, Nancy. Give up? Hardly. Sure, Nancy and I hit the highway, but for only a few miles. Then shortly after dark, we drove back. And for a couple of hours, for 3 or 4 hours... Well, anyhow, shortly before midnight, Nancy and I walked quietly up on the porch of Oscar Tremblay's insurance office.
You mean you didn't leave a message at my office to be here tonight?
I certainly didn't. I found a message from Charlie.
Are you kidding? Somebody left a message at my print shop to be here.
And I got one at my radio shop.
Well, I'll be
good darned.
Girl, Nancy. Now, I want...
And of course, they couldn't know your handwriting.
Wait a minute. There's somebody outside.
Huh?
Johnny.
What?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Why?
I thought you'd left town, Johnny.
What are you doing back
yeah,
here?
Yeah, that's right. I wanted you to think so. Well, listen. The old tower clock has started to strike midnight.
Well, yeah, that's 5... Sick.
Boys, I suddenly realized that in all my investigation this morning, I was being handicapped by what I thought was help.
What do you mean, Johnny?
Yeah, what's that?
I had too much help. Two or three of you were with me every second.
Oh, well, we wanted to be sure you wouldn't overlook anything.
That's right.
You wanted to be sure I would overlook a few things.
Huh?
Hey, now, wait. That's 11, 12. Well, hey, it only struck 12.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No ghostly wail tonight, is there?
Why, no.
No, fellas, no. Because the ghost is no more.
You found the ghost, Johnny?
I found out that he's one of you. Maybe
what?
All of you.
Oh, no. What are you talking about?
Alone, without your careful guidance, I finally located that sub-cellar in the old McAndrews house.
You did?
And that mess of complicated electrical stuff that was making the weird sound effects, the rocking chair, the banging shutters, and so on. Very clever. Your handiwork, Bill?
Sure. Sure. But Johnny...
Oh, fellas, it was a wonderful publicity stunt. Especially after international press was notified.
But you did that.
Not only for your radio and electronics shop, Bill, for your real estate business, Tony, your print shop and newspaper, Charlie, and your insurance business, Oscar.
Well, now,
but
Johnny...
But for the whole town. It's going to put Lake City on the map again. Which is to say... The motive wasn't entirely selfish.
No, of course it wasn't.
Okay, man. And because of that, and that alone, I won't give you away. Provided the ghost of Ian McAndrews never walks the streets of Lake City again.
Well, you can be sure of that, Johnny.
I don't know. I suppose I ought to really hit you over the head with this expense account. But, after all, the cause was a kind of worthy one. So I'll be honest with it for a change. And it, was fun to have Nancy Turner along. Expense account total, including mileage on the rental car, less deposit, $31.50. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Our star will return in just a moment. Our flag now numbers 50 stars, and behind each star there stands yet another flag representing one of the 50 states. North Dakota's state flag consists of a field of blue bordered with a knotted yellow fringe. Centered is a bird with outspread wings and with open beak, the eagle, king of birds, symbol of supreme authority, power, strength, and nobility. The left talon of the eagle grasps a sheaf of arrows, representing the Indians of North Dakota. The right foot grasps an olive branch, signifying peace. On the breast of the eagle is a shield with 7 red and 6 white stripes, signifying protection by the Union of the States. A scroll bearing the word E Pluribus Unum, one out of many, passes through the eagle's beak. 13 stars for the original 13 states are over the scroll. Above the stars is a sunburst for the continual sunshine in the state. North Dakota's state flag, the flag of the 39th state to enter the Union, was adopted on March 26, 1929. Now, here's our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, the most dangerous, exciting incident of my whole career. I break out in a cold sweat whenever I think of it. So join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar. Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote today's story. Heard in our cast were Virginia Gregg, Forrest Lewis, Joseph Kearns, Russell Thorson, Sam Edwards, and Bob Bruce. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Roy Rowan speaking. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Actually, no, it's not. It's 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. My name is Arthur, and we're listening to the Grand Hour. Well, that's the final show for today. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, the Ghost to Ghost Matter. That had an original air date of the 18th of May, 1958. Written, directed, and produced by Jack Johnstone. He was a heavy hitter there in old-time radio. Well, I'm going to do something sticking with the spooky Halloween theme I've adapted for this month. I'm going to do something a little out of the ordinary, mostly because there's a show following me. I want to make sure I wrap things up in a tidy fashion. I'm going to play a little bit of music. This is very Halloween-y music. I don't know about the lyrics so much, but I'm going to play some Doors, Not to Touch the Earth. Thanks for listening.
I am a lizard king. I can.